Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, September 20th, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. It's good to be back with you after a weekend away. I was in Wisconsin celebrating my wife's cousin's wedding, and I'm sorry we weren't able to put up a message last week, but I'm glad you came back for this week. So this Sunday is a special day for our congregation. We're worshiping outdoors in the community center parking lot, and we're going to be doing that for the next several weeks. And we're celebrating today confirmation for our ninth graders. We're giving Bibles to our third graders, and our now sixth graders are finally getting to have their first communion, which they were supposed to get back in April. So there's a lot going on this weekend here, and I'm glad you're joining us from wherever you are. As you'll hear in the sermon, the full worship service today is shaped around the baptismal promises in the confirmation service. So I've selected for today a gospel reading that fits with everything going on, and I'll be preaching on both that reading from Luke that you'll hear in a second, and on the verses that our confirmation students have each selected. Our gospel reading for today is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and I suspect you'll find it to be a familiar story. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as her guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I said, I imagine the story of Mary and Martha is likely a familiar one. It's a popular Sunday school story, I think, probably every year. Our Sunday school kids are actually exploring it this month. And I don't expect you to remember this, but the story of Mary and Martha was actually our reading on my very first weekend as pastor here at St. Peter in July 2016. That's also the only time I've ever preached a sermon on this story before. We picked this story for today first because it's the story our Sunday school kids are reading, but I also really like with all the different faith milestones we're celebrating this weekend to read this story. Our worship this weekend, as I said, is framed around the baptismal promises our ninth graders will make for their confirmation. And if you are an adult member of St. Peter or another Lutheran church, you made these promises when you were confirmed, or if you weren't confirmed, you made them when you joined this congregation. That was your confirmation then. And the whole idea is to consider what it looks like to live a life of faith. Being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, means you're called to do some things. Things like live among God's faithful people, hear God's word and share in the Lord's Supper, proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, serve all people following Jesus' example, and strive for justice and peace in all the earth. I like Mary and Martha because they show some of the tension that we run into when we try to live out that baptismal calling. The tension between listening and studying in church or watching videos, reading books, and serving and working in the rest of our lives. Some Christians see faith as mostly following Mary's example, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. And of course, that's good. Jesus affirms Mary. He even says she's chosen the better part. It's important to spend time with Jesus, to not fall into the trap of getting so busy that faith and God and church become just afterthoughts for when you don't have anything better to do. When we give out those Bibles to our third graders, I'm going to tell them that their nice new Bibles don't do any good if they just sit on the shelf in their bedroom. Even if you take the Bible and you put it under your pillow and try to just sort of absorb what it says while you're sleeping, it won't work. For it to be helpful, you have to open it. You have to read it. You have to be like Mary and take the time to listen to what Jesus wants to teach you. So Mary is a great example for us because she's willing to pause from the work that's going on to take time to just be with Jesus. She doesn't let anything get in the way of her listening to Jesus. In fact, one of the remarkable things about this story is that in that culture, people assumed being a student and sitting at the teacher's feet was something only a man could do. Women were supposed to be taking care of the work so the men could learn. In this story, Mary crosses that boundary, and Jesus welcomes her. She knows how important listening to Jesus is. She's got those promises about living among God's faithful people and hearing God's word. She's got those nailed down. Tanner, one of our confirmation students, picked for his Bible verse Psalm 16, verse 8, which says, "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." And he said he picked that verse as a reminder that God is with him in all aspects of your life. For him, that means in football and hunting and wrestling all the time. Keep your eyes open to noticing the Lord around you. Don't get so caught up in the doing and the working and the practicing that you forget to pause and intentionally spend time with Jesus like you're doing right now. Because like that verse says, he's always with you. You just need to pay attention to what he's teaching you and where he's calling you. The Lord is with you. And of course, Mary's not the only person in this story. She has the sister named Martha. And often I think Martha seems to get the short end of the stick, right? When this story is taught, Mary's the studious one, but Martha's not so bad. Martha's the one who gets things done. She's using the gifts God gave her, gifts like hospitality. Martha is doing good work. And that's a good thing. Our faith is supposed to lead to action. The problem, though, is that Martha gets so focused on her work that she loses sight of Jesus. Jack, another of our students, picked 2 Chronicles 15:7, which says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." And that's a great verse, I think, for all of us as we live out the promises to serve God's people, serve all people, following Jesus' example, the promise to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. We Christians are called to listen to Jesus, and we're called to put his teachings into action. What good is our faith if it doesn't affect anything? I don't need to tell you that there's a lot of need in this world right now. We have lots of neighbors who need serving. There's plenty of work to be done, we've seen, toward peace and justice. So as you live out those promises in your Christian life, as you do that hard work, be strong. Don't give up. Look for the rewards of helping others, the reward of knowing that you're serving God. Emma, our farm kid, picked Proverbs 27:23, which says, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds." And that's a fitting verse for someone who loves animals like Emma does. But I think we can take it even farther than caring for literal sheep. It's a picture, in just a few words, of how God cares for us, for you and for me. When the biblical writers like David and the prophets look for words to describe God, one of the many images they land on is a shepherd, the keeper of sheep. The Lord God is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep, who leads the flock beside the still waters and through the green pastures, who knows everything that's happening in the lives of the flock. Later, when God enters the world at Christmas, the first people to receive the good news that the Son of God has been born are the shepherds, shepherds who are out watching their flocks by night. This week in confirmation class, we talked about the creation story in the very first chapter of Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible. The very first thing God tells people to do, the very first command God gives, is to care for the world, to take care of God's good creation. And beyond literal flocks, this verse helps us explore how God is also calling us to care for people. After Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, he asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And each time when Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I do love you. Lord, you know I love you," Jesus instructed him, "Feed my sheep." I don't know if God is calling you to be a pastor, but the word pastor is more than just a job title. It literally means shepherd. The pastor is the one who cares for the flock. So be diligent and faithful in your work, this verse tells us. Know the condition of your flocks and your herds, and follow the good shepherd who cares for you. Kirsten picked a great verse from the first chapter of Luke, Luke 1:37, says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And I don't know how much attention she paid to where that verse comes from when she was picking it, but it's from the Christmas story, from the angel Gabriel talking to Mary. Not the same Mary as in Mary and Martha, different Mary. This one's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the angel Gabriel is telling Mary she's going to give birth to the baby Jesus, who's going to be the Son of God. And Mary's like, "Hold on a minute. I have no idea how that could happen. But okay, if that's what God wants, I'm in. I will trust God. Let's do it." And the angel says, "Let God figure it out. It might seem impossible, but God can make it work." And like Kirsten said when she picked this verse, in the times when you get scared or frustrated, remember that God is always with you. God can figure it out. With God, all things are possible. All you get to do is be like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and say, "Okay, God, I trust you." Reagan picked a verse that's very similar to Kirsten's, but hers is from a very different place. She picked Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, which says, "Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" And that verse comes from a conversation where Jesus tells a rich guy to sell everything that he has and come and follow Jesus. And when this rich guy can't bring himself to sell everything, Jesus says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those are hard words. And the disciples ask, "Well, how can anyone be saved? Who has enough faith for that?" And Jesus says, "God can figure it out. With God, all things are possible." None of our confirmands this weekend are going to follow all these promises perfectly. None of us are. Our third graders are not going to remember everything that's in the Bibles we give them. Our first communion kids aren't going to understand everything about communion perfectly. But that's okay, because none of this is up to us. If we had to be good enough to get to heaven, none of us would make it. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God can figure it out. God takes our anxiety and our distractedness and the times we run away and forget about Jesus. God takes all the things we do wrong, and God forgives us. God forgives you. God looks at you and says, "You are my child, and I love you. I've claimed you." You don't have to have it all figured out. Faith is a journey that lasts your whole life. For our kids, this weekend is a beginning, not an ending. These promises are for all of us. God's call is for our entire lives. So keep living among God's faithful people. Keep coming to the Lord's table. Keep serving and striving. And like Mary and Martha, keep proclaiming the good news of God's love in both your words and your actions. Amen.